Well, good morning, everyone. It is good to be with you this morning. We have such a special morning lined up this morning for worship. Before we get started, please allow me to make just a couple of announcements. First, if you've not yet RSVP'd for Dan and Jan's retirement celebration on Saturday, June 4th, we are asking you to do so today. Today is the last day for those RSVPs because we need to get a count to our caterer and make sure we have the right amount of chairs and tents and things for our setup that day. So please RSVP, go online and do that today. We would appreciate it very much. You also probably noticed as you walked in this morning, the LifeSouth Bloodmobile outside. You're invited to give blood, give life today. As it says there, you're somebody's type, so please give blood. They are asking us to help cork up the blood supply in honor of National Barbecue Month. And so if you give blood today, you'll get a free coupon to Sonny's for a free pulled pork sandwich. So please give blood today. Now, before we get to our mission box, something that we are really involved in here at Trinity is a network of churches that help provide temporary housing to homeless families. And it's a network called Family Promise. Well, yesterday was their big Family Promise bed race. It's gotten rained out from several weeks ago. And here we have their hardware because they did they won, first of all, as the fastest bed. The Melling brothers and Adam Ping and Kelly Wagner were the team, and they smoked the track and they smoked the competition. And so we're grateful to them for lending their athletic efforts. We're also very grateful to Rosemary and Francis Davis, who really were the team captains, if you will. They also won a medal for best team. They won a medal for fastest adult division. And then we also won the fundraising merit award because out of all of the churches, we raised the highest amount of churches. So very exciting. And we haven't quite decided where this is going to go, but since my wife Lenora was Princess Leia on the Force Awakens themed bed, she's probably going to have it for a little while anyway. So we're excited about that. Time now for our mission box, and I'd like to invite my friend Bob Wright up, who's going to share with us this morning about the Micanopy Collaborators for Educational Excellence. So come on up, Bob.
Good morning. And it's now called the Micanopy Tutoring, and it's a program of the Friends of the Micanopy Library, and it was evaluated in June of 2015 during the grant process to reduce poverty in Alachua County. They were described as an extremely successful program in which other new homework helper programs are referred. They are a unique after-school program providing free one-on-one tutoring to disadvantaged children living in Micanopy and the surrounding rural areas. These children receive up to 4.5 hours of tutoring per day, 4 days a week. They also receive tutoring during the summer because at-risk students often lose much of the previous year of achievement during the summer. And the summer tutoring, along with the tutoring that occurs after school, also includes food, and the summer tutoring includes lunch. This summer also gives them time to develop a love of reading in the children. The results have been dramatic. All of the children were failing or near failing when accepted into the program. For the past 4 years, 65% to 70% of the students have made a B average or above on their report cards, and almost every child at least a C. One student this year who is now in middle school began the program several years ago and was a problem child. He then moved away because of obvious family problems. His father died from drugs, and his mother was sent to prison because she was selling drugs. So he moved away, But then he returned to live with a relative late last summer, and he asked to be back in the program because he felt secure in that setting. His behavioral problems have virtually disappeared, and at the end of last semester, he had a B average in school. What makes this program doubly appealing, I oftentimes call it a twofer, is that the tutors are need-based work-study students from the University of Florida, and they often come from similar backgrounds. Obviously, part of their tutorial expertise is that they have a deep understanding of the children that they tutor. And some recent news about these same work-study students is that one of them is now in the latter part of law school, and another one, I'm about to read a little bit more about that student, is a first-year medical student. And the description that I got was that one U of F student who was the first in her family to attend college worked her way through school by becoming a tutor for the Micanopy Tutoring. She did very well as an undergraduate and got into medical school here. She is currently a first-year med student who wants to work with underserved populations when she finishes school. She recently told the person who gave me this information how working at tutoring influenced her decision to work with an underserved population. And then these are her words, a quotation. "The time I spent tutoring had a huge impact on me, seeing how much disadvantage at a young age can shape a child's future opportunities, and conversely, how huge a positive impact a small program can have on the direction of their lives." I'm up here because about 6 years ago, a neighborhood couple approached me because they had heard that Trinity was a giving church, and the Micanopy program at that time had suffered deep cutbacks, and of course, they still need help. You are indeed a giving church. I have been blessed by being able to serve them in this way, and you have blessed this tutorial program in the past, and I invite you to bless it again this year. So you know where the mission boxes are, and there are a few Micanopy tutoring newsletters close by. So I pray that you will bless them again for their wonderful work. Thank you.
So that's our announcements, that's our mission box, and before we get to our tradition here, I want to let you know about another annual tradition that we have in our church. The United Methodist Women, in the springtime, or as graduation approaches, like to host a reception for graduating seniors and their families in the atrium, just to celebrate their accomplishments and to also hear from these students where it is they will be going off to college and the like. So this morning, we want to take an opportunity to publicly recognize here in the service all of our seniors who are here who will be graduating this year. If you would please stand so that we could recognize you where you are, we would appreciate it. There's one, popping up. So we're so excited for your future, and please, you and your families, after the service, make your way over to the atrium. The UMW have prepared a nice event for you over there, and they are really anxious to meet you and hear about what you have planned for your future. So blessings to all of you as you go on into the great wild yonder. All right, so now we have a tradition here. We hope that if you're here for the first time today and you're looking for a first home, you'll come to feel this way about Trinity. Welcome home. Why are we here? Let us worship God together.
Good morning. Please stand and let us worship together for our opening song this morning, "Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing."
Great job leading. Thank you. And Ricky, leading Sunlight today. Aaron is out of town for a family birthday, I think, grandmother or something, and thanks for leading there. Megan, I'm going to do a little drama later on, and I wish I had some of your personality to do it, but great job. Thanks. Elizabeth.
It's a joy to celebrate the sacrament of baptism with two families today. We'd like to invite the Celso family forward and the Kramer family forward. Aaron and Steve and Big Brother Evan for the baptism of Annabelle Lynn. And we'd like to invite your friends and relatives to come stand at the altar rail, and you all will come up here. And then Marvin and Irish and Big Sister Giannina for the baptism of Jahio this morning. And we also have some godparents here.
Oh, this is wonderful. And it's so such a joy to be able to be a part of this. And also, Aaron's going to join the church today. So I'm going to ask sort of all these questions, and that'll be a part of your joining at the same time, Aaron. So that'll work out fine. The Chelsea, this is your second child to be baptized. And Marvin is a Methodist minister from the Philippines. So we celebrate that. So I'll ask you all these questions. Do you know as Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, do you? And do you promise as God gives you strength and help to lead lives that are pleasing to God and a good example for your children, will you? And will you support the... Well, no, that's a different word. Let me think. What is it, Aaron? Never mind. will you rear your children under the ministry and guidance of the church so they can come to know Jesus as their own personal Savior? And Aaron, will you support this church with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? We welcome you into this church. And a lot of your Sunday school class are here, and we celebrate that. And Aaron, will you pray over the water?
Pour out your Holy Spirit on the gift of water and on those who receive it, that by your grace they may grow in their faith to become more fully who you created them to be.
Annabelle Lynn. Oh. Lisa Evans. That's okay.
We present Annabelle Lynn Kramer for baptism.
Annabelle Lynn Kramer, we baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And God's blessings be upon you all. Amen. Jahio? Jahio Chelso. Celso, Jahio Celso, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son. Would you look at me? And the Holy Spirit. May God's blessings be upon you forever and ever. Let me take my time. Oh, good. Let's try this. Can I try this? Oh, good. You're brave. Oh. You welcome our newest members of the Trinity Church family. Let's say these words to our new friends. We welcome you into our family of faith. With God's help. Thank you. Congratulations. Let's sing our song. Walk with the listeners. Thank you. Congratulations.
Jesus loves you, we do too. We'll prepare a place for you where you'll grow in faith so strong and you'll serve. Yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves you.
matter of personal privilege, Michael Chastain is a longtime friend in this, of mine. I had the privilege of being with him with his father's memorial service, and he wrote a song called Truck Driver Man, and I'll never forget it, Michael. And Michael, would you come and get ready? And Brian Baker. Michael used to be in the group called Dixie Desperados. Anybody remember? Oh, yeah. Oh, you got And he said, Dan, Reverend Dan, I'd like to sing you a song. And I said, I would love to have you sing the song. This is a song written by his friend Stan Lynch, who some of you know, I think, was in the Tom Petty band. And he met Ryan Baker when he took a relative to get some hearing assistance, because that's what Ryan does, and discovered that Ryan is quite a piano player. And so these two guys are going to sing a song, Come Grow Old With Me. Did you want to say anything, Michael?
Hello. Good morning. It's an honor and a privilege for Ryan and I to be up here today with y'all. It's some amazing music that's happened here, and it's what got me coming here. And Reverend Dan, he's been great. He's been so great through our family stuff that people have. And Reverend Dan, thanks a lot. I appreciate it on behalf of my family and everyone. Thank you so much.
Let's welcome. Thank you.
Please grow old with me, gently in my arms, underneath the shady tree. Please grow old with me. Please don't ever leave. My heart won't go astray. They'll see to anything you need. Please grow old with me. Second chance to make amends to the one I have in hold till I lay down and rest my soul. Please grow old with me. Life is but a dream. Take the river to the sea. Please grow old with me. Please grow old with me. Please grow old with me. Please grow old with me.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Ryan. That was beautiful. For our time of, instead of a creed today, we're actually going to have a personal sharing, and we have the Reverend Luis Alberto Vasquez and his interpreter Heidi, who are going to come up now, and they're going to be sharing with you a bit about what's going on in Cuba. He is the superintendent in the Safe and Fuegos district of Cuba. But as they're coming up, I just wanted to share with you the names of those that are visiting in the hospital and the rehab. We want to continue to pray for them as well as all those who are in need of God's healing mercy and grace. So I'm going to turn it over now to them. Welcome.
Good morning. No, speak English, sorry.
He has his notes.
Quiero hablar sobre el aprecio y la gratitud.
He wants to talk to, with his gratitude and his great pleasure.
Que sentimos en nuestra iglesia metodista en Cuba.
That we feel in the church in Cuba, in the Methodist Church in Cuba.
Por el amor y el apoyo que recibimos a través.
For the love and support that we receive.
A través de la relación con la Iglesia Metodista Unida de la Florida.
That we see from you all, the Trinity United Methodist Church and the Methodist Church in general of Florida.
Y es un gran honor para mí.
It's a great honor to me.
Que me reciba en su iglesia esta mañana.
That you receive me this morning.
Agradezco especialmente al pastor.
I'm especially grateful to the pastor.
Y a mis hermanos Sanford y Alma.
And your
Mayo.
And Alma and Sanford Mayo.
Por la oportunidad de compartir con ustedes.
For the opportunity to share with you.
Mi nombre es Luis Alberto Vázquez.
His name is, as you heard, Luis Alberto Vázquez.
Soy el superintendente del Distrito Cienfuegos en Cuba.
He is the superintendent of the Cienfuegos district.
Y pastor local en la iglesia de Aguada de Pasajeros.
And he is exactly the pastor at
Iglesia de Aguada de Pasajeros.
Iglesia Aguada de Pasajeros, which is in English is passengers.
En Cienfuegos.
En Cienfuegos.
Y quiero contar algunas experiencias.
And he wants to tell you a few experiences.
Sobre los cambios que están ocurriendo.
Towards the changes that are occurring now in Cuba.
Creemos que pueden mejorar.
We think things are getting much better and will get much better.
La difícil situación.
From the difficult situation.
Que la iglesia cubana en general.
That the Cuban church in general.
Ha tenido que sufrir por muchos años.
Has had to suffer for many, many years.
Para este momento.
In this moment,
ya la iglesia no sufre una gran persecución. Ya la iglesia no sufre una gran persecución.
They don't suffer the persecution like they used to.
Los agentes de policía,
police, the agencies,
o personal del gobierno,
or persons from the government,
muestran respeto y cordialidad hacia los cristianos.
They show now show respect and cordiality towards the Christians.
No ofrecen apoyo económico.
They don't support us economically.
Todavía se necesitan mejorar algunas cosas.
So there still are many things that have to get better.
Pero es asombroso.
But it's outstanding.
Por ejemplo.
For example.
Que ya podemos nombrar un abogado.
Now we can name a lawyer.
Que defienda nuestras causas legales.
That can defend our cases legally.
Y esperar que sea justo en su defensa.
And expect that we will have justice in our defense.
E imparcial.
Impartial justice.
Así también se nos permite predicar la palabra de Dios.
Also we can now preach the word of God.
En lugares públicos.
In public places.
Recientemente tuvimos unos servicios.
Recently we had services.
Previamente coordinados con el gobierno.
Obviously coordinated with the government.
En un estadio de béisbol.
In a baseball stadium.
en la ciudad de Holguín.
Holguín was a city where the baseball stadium was.
Esto es histórico.
This is historical.
Nunca antes sucedió en Cuba.
That would have never happened.
Después del triunfo de la revolución.
After Castro came into the government.
En este servicio al aire libre.
In this service, obviously at open air in the stadium.
Predicó el sermón.
The sermon was preached.
Nuestro obispo Pereira.
Our bishop Pereira.
Esa noche aceptaron a Cristo.
That night,
muchas personas.
Many people accepted Christ.
Eso es posible en La Habana.
That is also possible in Havana.
O cualquier otro lugar.
Or any other place.
Previo acuerdo con funcionarios del gobierno.
Obviously with the permission from the functional government.
Tenemos miembros que trabajan directamente.
We have members who work directly.
En oficinas del Comité Central del Partido Comunista de Cuba.
That work directly with the Party Central of the Communist Government in Cuba.
Y pastores ordenados.
And ordained pastors.
Por nuestra conferencia.
But ordained by our conference.
Que son oficiales retirados del Ministerio del Interior.
Who are members of the Minister, Interior Ministry.
O de las Fuerzas Armadas Revolucionarias.
Or the armed forces.
Pueden parecer pequeños cambios.
It may seem like small changes.
Pero estamos viendo el resultado.
But we are seeing the results.
De las oraciones juntos.
From our prayers together in union.
Cuba y Florida.
Cuba and Florida.
Gracias a todos.
Many thanks to you all.
Que Dios les bendiga.
God bless you.
Thank you, Reverend Vasquez. All right, let us join our hearts in prayer now as we go to God. Good and loving Creator, who is closer to us than breath and whose Spirit sustains our very existence, you alone are worthy of all praise. So we offer our lives to you as a living sacrifice. Transform us to become our truest selves, so that we can increasingly magnify your glory and grace in all that we say and do. We lift up the names of those that we have had on our screen and all those who are in need of your healing, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. We pray for those whose relationships are fractured and strained, for those who mourn and grieve, for those who are separated by war or terror, for all who lack life's most basic resources. By your grace, Lord, meet all these needs through your grace, which is sufficient and able to do exceedingly more than we can even imagine. We pray for Reverend Vasquez and our sister church in Cuba and for all the ministries that he represents. We pray for all whose hearts are united with ours in Christ. We ask that your Holy Spirit continue to move in and through us all, as we seek to proclaim the good news of our salvation in Christ Jesus. Encourage them and provide for their ministries, as you likewise empower us to continue our work here together as ambassadors of your kingdom. Pour out your Spirit upon all of us. Renew us where we are weary. Ignite a holy passion within us that inspires us to dream new dreams as we seek to be your body of love, with active hands and warm hearts, as we proclaim the good news of Christ to all. And join us in unity, Lord, as we pray together the words Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I'd like to invite the ushers forward at this time, and we are going to go to God once again in prayer for our offering. So let us pray. Gracious God, who has given us everything that we enjoy, we now take this opportunity to give back to you. Accept our tithes and our offerings as a pleasing sacrifice, Lord, and multiply these offerings so that your kingdom work can continue to be done. We offer everything that we are, our gifts, our times, our talents to you. Help us use all of our resources wisely as we seek to glorify your name in all things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. My name is Grace Engel, and today Sunlight will be singing You Found Me by The Fray. This song speaks of falling on hard times and feeling like God isn't there when you need him the most. The writer of the song explains his inspiration for lyrics like, "Why'd you have to wait to find me?" by saying, "It demands so much of my faith to keep believing, to keep hoping in the unseen. This song is about the hope that I still have buried deep in my chest." We can relate this to Samuel 22:32-33, in which it states, "For who is God but the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? This God is my strong refuge and has made my way for me." God will always be there, a rock for us to lean on when it seems there is only darkness. We must always remember that we will never have to wait for God to find us, because he will forever be by our side in the ministry. And now singing is the talented stage back.
Oh,
Thank you, Sunlight. At the conclusion of Pastor Dan's sermon this morning, we need several volunteers to help us serve communion. So at the appropriate time, would you please make your way forward to help us serve? We would appreciate that very much. Before I read this morning's passage, let me pray very quickly. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, so that as these scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, you may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Hear now this reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 21. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep."
That scene of the Sea of Galilee, it brings it all back to me like it was yesterday. Although it's been many years ago, I was there just as you just heard read. Jesus had risen from the dead, which was beyond our understanding. And I said to some of the guys, "Let's do what we've been doing for years. Let's go fishing." And then we came in from catching nothing, and there he was, the resurrected Jesus, there on that very spot, down by the water's edge. He had a charcoal fire going, and he was fixing his breakfast. I wanted to avoid him like everything because of what I'd done or not done 3 nights before. But you know, maybe you know Jesus that way. He won't let you do that. And so I gathered around and kept avoiding him, but he looked me right in the eyes. That same look he gave me 3 years earlier. And he said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me? Feed my sheep." 3 times. Changed my life. I'm not really a shepherd. I'm a fisherman. I don't feel comfortable in these clothes, but none of you are a shepherd either, are you? But he called you to do this. When he said, "Feed my sheep," I wondered, what did he mean? And I thought, he probably means for me to just tell the stories about him. So I'll go back to the beginning when I was out fishing and I came in and my brother Andrew, who seems to know everybody everywhere, he came up to me and said, "Peter, I think we found him. I think we found him, the Messiah." I said, "Andrew, come on." But when he looked at me in the eyes, like I looked into his, I knew this man was different. And he said, "Come follow me." And for the next 3 years, we saw some of the most amazing, unbelievable things. I'll tell you about a couple of them, just a few of them today. We went into the synagogue. He tends to do that. And when we went in this day in Capernaum, he walked right up and he took the scroll right out of the special place and he began to unroll the scroll and he came to the prophet Isaiah and he rolled further and further and he got to almost the very end and he quoted it and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, deliverance to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind." And then he rolled the scroll up and said, "Today this has been fulfilled in your hearing." I couldn't believe it. He just was claiming to be the Messiah. He was the fulfillment. And that began two trajectories, those of us who loved him and followed him and those who were just overcome by hatred for him. After that, he went through the town square and down an alley and over this way there to turn into my house. I don't know if he knew that my wife's mother was deathly ill. She had a high fever. She was getting weaker and weaker, and we were sure that she was not going to make it. And he went back to her room, and he touched her forehead, and she was immediately healed. It was amazing. She got up, did what she loved to do. She began taking care of us. But word spread all around those little towns that you see there. Capernaum, Magdala, Bethsaida, all around Galilee. Word spread that a healer was there. And so people came in the thousands. People who were lame, paralyzed, mental anguish. People who were hungry. People who were outcast. People who were lepers. People who had been made to feel that they were outside of God's loving grace. It used to be an old theology, but I thought we got rid of that when that story about Job was written, but it persisted. And certainly the leaders, religious leaders of our day, believed that and used that to exclude people who were different than they. But here they came. Because, you see, they believed that if something made you different, that was because you'd sinned and you were therefore outside of God's grace. How tragic. And yet there they came by the thousands. And he opened his arms this wide, and almost as if to reach around all thousands of those people. And he welcomed them, and he even said, bless them. It was beautiful. And I could sense this new kingdom he was talking about was a kingdom where all of God's children were included in God's grace. All of God's children were included. It was beautiful to behold. He not only welcomed them, he identified with them, because later on he said, you know, whenever you give food to the hungry or drink to the thirsty or welcome the stranger or give a home to the homeless or visit the prisoner, whatever you do to them, you do to me. Wow. No wonder they felt it. Many said these words, I'll never forget them. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are the poor in spirit. For theirs is the kingdom of God. There he did it. He just welcomed everybody. Blessed are those who mourn. They will be comforted. Blessed are the meek and the humble. Blessed are those who work for peace. For they are children of God. It's amazing how he welcomed everyone. And then I could see it just draining the energy out of me. He would early in the morning often slip away to his own sort of private place. Sometimes I would get up early and see him over there, and it was like a garden. And I would see him talking to the Father like they were one. And he came back renewed and empowered. I was walking around here the other day, and I went over to a building over that way. It's all glass. And I noticed just slipped in the back, and I just watched people come in and out all day long. And they would go down to the front or sit somewhere, and they just pray. And it was like being in that garden all over again. And the same thing that happened to Jesus happened to them. They left renewed. I remembered his words. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy. My burden is a light. You'll keep that chapel open always, won't you? So people can come and pray and connect. Life. And then, for some reason, we went to the little town up near Nazareth. We went to a wedding. I don't know why we were invited to that wedding. I think it had to do with Jesus' mother. And they were there, and a beautiful young couple, and that wedding was going on really, really well. And then it became clear that something was amiss because they were running out of wine. And I looked at Jesus and his mother, and she was telling him what to do. It was kind of fun to watch them talk back and forth. Maybe your mother's like that, too. And then the next thing I knew, he had those water pots filled with water, and it changed it right into wine. Really the best wine I've ever tasted, and it seemed to never run out. To this day, I don't know how he did it.
But I always know why he did it. Because he was about joy and laughter and fun. And he wanted that young couple to have their cups overflowing. People would bring little children to him. And he welcomed them. I'm not proud of this, but I was part of that group that said, told people to stay away, he needs his space for us. And Jesus rebuked us, and he kept taking the little children up, just like these little children here. And he said, you know, this is what the kingdom of God is about. Little children, they have such faith, hope, desires, and trust. Walking this week down the hallways over here, and nobody saw me, but oh, the laughter of the children and those teachers and that mural. Oh my. And I got to the end and I saw Jesus there in the tree, and it reminded me of the same story. And then on Saturday I was out back, and so amazing group of kids running everywhere. Another time I went across town to a little white building. Amazing things with children. You'll keep tending the little lambs, won't you? You'll always take care of his little lambs. You'll feed them, won't you? After all, it was a little lad. I don't know how old, maybe it was old as some of the youngest over here. We've had thousands gathered. They love to hear his stories. He told about a farmer who sowed seed. He told about wheat and weeds. He told stories that everybody could understand, except those who didn't want to understand them. And so they gathered. There were 4,000 or 5,000, I bet. And we were near Bethsaida, and so he said to Philip, "Philip, you're from here. Can you get some food for all these people?" And Philip looked at him like he was out of his mind. And then Andrew said, "Hey," I think Andrew found a boy. I really think the boy found Andrew. This little boy came up just like those children Jesus was talking about and said, "Hey, here's what I've got." Somehow he saw what the rest of us couldn't even imagine, that if he gave it to Jesus, Jesus would do something amazing with it. And so that's what happened. Jesus blessed the bread and the fish and fed all those 5,000 with a lot left over. It was amazing. I wonder what happened to that little boy as he grew up. One of my favorite stories that Jesus told was about a boy who became a young man, and he got tired of being under his dad's authority, and he demanded his inheritance, and he went off and did all kinds of things and got in all kinds of trouble. But he came to himself one day and he wanted to go home. He didn't know his dad was watching for him every day. Then he came and his dad came running out. You always keep your doors open, won't you, for people who want to come back home? We do that, don't we? That's part of tending the sheep, feeding his lamb. We went on for a while. Things were getting more dangerous. The crowds were so huge. I knew what the authorities were thinking. Jesus said, "I'm going to go to Jerusalem." I said, "No, you're not." I think that's the last time I ever said something like that to him. He said some unkind things to me. I knew he was set on it, and so there he went. We went down the Jordan River, and we went into Jericho. We came up to Bethany. He always loved going to Bethany because his best friend Lazarus and Mary and Martha were there, and he could relax there. With us, he was always teaching us, but there he relaxed. And, but the next day, Passover was there. They had a
Andrew or one of the others go get a donkey, and we came in, and the crowds were going crazy. I knew something was going to come to a head. It didn't help that he went right to the temple and he turned the tables over because they were doing all kinds of wrong things with that. Then we went to an upper room, and there we had our last supper together. It was that Passover meal that we've been having for 1,200 years in our country. Right during the middle of the meal, he got up and he took a towel and basin and started washing everybody's feet. And I was appalled. I promised I would never speak out like I did before, but I did it anyway. And he said, "Peter, trust me. I'm your servant. You're called to be servants." And I let him. And then he came back and he led us through the meal, and he came to, I was just kind of following along. I knew the ritual by heart. And then he said something I couldn't believe. It was so different. He said, when he took the bread, he broke it and said, "This is my body." I never heard that before. "My body broken for you, oh my." And he took the cup and he blessed it and gave thanks to God. And then he said, "This is my blood poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins." And I remembered as clear as a bell John the Baptist saying when he saw him, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And then the night unfolded. I can barely tell you this, what I did next. I'll tell it to you because I think some of you may have done something similar. I denied him 3 times. I denied ever knowing him. Have you ever done that? The irony is, 6 months earlier, James and John were talking as they always do. They weren't called sons of thunder for nothing. They were talking and their mom even said, "Jesus, would you put one on the right and one on your left when you come in the kingdom?" I got so ticked off at those guys. So I said to Jesus, "How many times do I have to forgive my brother? Is it up to 7? And I've already forgiven James 6 times and I can't do it anymore." And Jesus said, "Not 7 times, but 7 times 70. I'm so glad he did because I needed it so many times. And then they arrested him and put him on that cross. And as I looked up at that cross and him on it, I knew he was taking all my wounds and all my brokenness and all my sin and really the sin of the whole world. He's out there always looking. It's a beautiful thing. It's life to us. And they took him down, put him in the tomb. And 2 days later, Mary told us that the stone was rolled away and she saw him there in the garden. He said, "I'm the resurrection and the life. Because I live, you will live also." Yesterday I was out in your garden out there. I saw the names of people who've risen to everlasting life. You'll keep that garden, won't you? And that brings me to the fact of this scene where we began. We were there, the charcoal fire. Before I came in this morning, I went to that little body of water right out there and this one out here, and I walked down to the water's edge and I could almost picture that fire, that burning embers, and see Jesus there. Could I ask you to do something? Every time you walk by that pond, or this one, would you picture yourself there with him? And would you hear him say, "Feed my sheep, tend my lamb. Love me. Feed my sheep. Tend my lamb. Forever. Whenever. And ever." almost forgot. I just learned that that old shepherd that's been around here forever is going to leave. And it's about time, isn't it? And I've heard that some really neat new shepherds are coming. I heard they got really pretty good training along the way. They'll have the same message. Feed my sheep. Tell the stories of the most amazing man in all the world. He loves us. Gave himself for us. So I wanted to come back just one last time to feed some of you. And if it's all right, I'll ask my wife to come down. And those of you who are going to help serve, and you come and receive Holy Communion, the bread of life, the cup of salvation. Would you come as people, as some light leads us in our city?
feels like to be fed. That's what it feels like to be nourished. So receive that nourishment and use it this week as you go out into the world and feed and nourish all of God's people that you encounter. I invite you to please stand now and with love and great affection, take the hand of the person next to you and receive this blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift His face up to you.